Welcome to It Figures, the toy and action figure podcast on itfigurespodcast.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. I am Pixel Dan.
I am Scotty Cash.
I'm Stina.
And I'm your Lord Killian.
And ding dong!
Rick, I'm just going to get totally crazy.
Screaming into the mic is pretty crazy.
I love it. I think it's awesome. I'm glad you do that.
You enjoy the screaming?
I'm glad he does it. I think it's hilarious.
Hilarious.
Well, if he's that hilarious, Nick Cannon can buy y'all's school clothes.
Awesome. So how's everybody today? How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Good. We don't have much to talk about, huh?
He has lots to talk about.
Toy news wise.
Yeah, we got some things to talk about, but I didn't really, I gotta be honest, I was really busy at work today and did not have time to scour for news like I usually do on Tuesdays.
You worked at work?
I worked at work hard, and I am so behind, it's stupid.
Whoa.
That's what happens when you take like 2 days off, apparently.
One and a half days.
Somebody doesn't do your work, they just like stacks up?
Yes, it just stacks up.
And then why you're not...
They would do that to be nice, but no. And
they're like, well, heck, if he doesn't, he's not here, he doesn't know that I'm just going to put mine on there too. Everyone just put all their work on there as well.
Yeah, no kidding.
Haven't you found a clueless noob yet that you can like delegate your
doesn't
work
really
to,
work like that there, because everybody's kind of got their own things that they know how to do. So if I was just like, do this for me, they'd go, I don't know how to do that,
do it
do it anyway, and then I get in trouble when they do it wrong. So see, that's not good
you
for
just
me.
Have to redo it.
That's not good for me. Yeah, I just have to let it stack up while I'm gone. So yeah, I came back to that. I was mad when I went into work today and I was like, 100 emails, I was gone for a day and a half, this is stupid. So
80 of them were me going, where are you at? Where are you at, what's going on?
You're not far off, because I swear people don't know how to read out-of-office messages. And the same person will email me 5 times a day asking me the same question, wondering why I'm not responding to him. I'm like, really? Okay. All right, guy. I am not here. Thank you, though.
Well, it only shows up once.
So that's the kind of thing that I dealt with. But, yep. So we're just going to kind of talk about some stuff. We just, Stina and I just got back from PowerCon. You guys went to Toy Man this weekend. Woo! So I figured that would give us enough to talk about, right?
Yeah, we trump you for sure.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. Your weekend sounds amazing.
You go first.
You want to do PowerCon first?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk PowerCon. Dang, Scotty is stripping. You guys see this?
PowerCon got me all hot.
PowerCon got him excited.
Got me all warmed up inside.
All right, so PowerCon, the first ever Masters of the Universe and Thundercats convention in the United States, just happened this past weekend, and it was awesome. It was, it's a small convention, which is what we expected. It's,
5,000? 10,000?
I don't really know how many people showed up. I didn't.
Probably about 500?
Probably about
500?
Maybe 60. More.
Right, about 60.
No, there was far more than 60. A lot more people showed up than I was actually expecting. I was really impressed with the turnout that this place got. And, I mean, you know, people were still lining up for the panels. The panel rooms filled up for every panel, filled up that room. I mean, it was really cool. It was awesome seeing that many people there. But the cool thing about it was, like, you know, it was a smaller convention, but it was totally perfect for this, because I mean, it's pretty much just like, it's just Masters and Thundercats, so it's very small, it's very intimate, and it's just people that like those things, so it totally just made the experience so much better than something like San Diego.
You can have a conversation with someone in here.
You said it was intimate.
Yes.
Personal.
So it was like,
we're just making out all over the place.
Like those candles.
Yeah, candles.
Everywhere.
Yeah,
the lights were kind of dimmed.
That's exactly.
You go up to a dude and be like, bro, E-Man. I know.
No homo, though. No homo.
That's exactly.
That is exactly how it was. No, but it was really cool because they had a lot of talent there, a lot of creators, and it was, you know, it was such a small convention that you could just walk up and just mingle and talk to any of those guys, like just regular people. And I think that was one of the best parts of the entire experience.
Everybody was so nice.
Everybody was so incredibly nice. Everybody was just like hanging out, having a good time, talking about He-Man. And Mattel had an awesome display. The display that Mattel had there was on par with the stuff that they set up at San Diego Comic-Con. They brought the full setup. They had the whole thing there. They had the entire Eternia display, the entire Castle Grayskull display, everything that they showed off at San Diego, plus all the new reveals. Everything was there. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
It was really cool to see that. And, I mean, they had that was going on, but then they also had, like, the Power and the Honor Foundation was there, and they had a bunch of pieces on display. They actually brought the original prototype He-Man figure, sculpted by Tony Guerrero and painted by Roger Sweet, the very first figure with him wearing the Viking helmet. That was sculpted. That's in the book. They had the actual figure, and Mattel actually let them display it in their case. So we got to see the actual first prototype figure of He-Man on display.
That's a little sketchy. I'd be like, can we get our figure back?
Who had the key? Did you have the key? I didn't have the key. I thought I gave you the key. Yeah, I don't know.
No, it was really cool, though, because Mattel actually had, like, the Power and the Honor Foundation information up in their booth and
everything. There's no reason that Mattel should embrace that and go with it, because there's nothing they can do about it, and it's doing nothing but helping them.
Well, all the Mattel employees that were there loved the catalog. They all bought their own copies. Scott bought 4 copies for himself.
Wow.
So I'm just hoping that this is
Scott gets a lot of grief. I'm going to cut you off.
No, go for it, man.
Scott gets a lot of grief on a lot of stuff, but it really seems like he's really stepping up. You know what I mean? He does a lot of stuff that he doesn't get credit for as well.
He gets a lot of grief, you're right, and we've poked fun at him plenty of times, but there is no denying that dude is a true He-Man fan. Yeah. He is a super fan of the brand, and that is the exact kind of person you need running it. I'll have no problem saying that about him.
Unless I can do it, then.
Unless Scott gets the opportunity. Scotty Cash gets the opportunity.
That would be better.
No, yeah, I have no problem saying that. He's always been nothing but generous to us. I mean, he always grants me that awesome interview every time they reveal figures. I mean, that's awesome of him to actually go out of his way to go hands-on with those toys for us. So
we've gotten a Spinblade Skeletor yet.
And sometimes...
Good job.
He even goes off monologue and makes Killen feel like an idiot on camera.
Oh, yeah. That was
he funny. Doesn't get a script. Like, we're going to do what? I was going to do what I want.
I'll just do my own thing.
And I'm not going to tell you, though, right before. Action. Yeah, I'm doing my own thing.
Speaking of Spinblade Skeletor, at the 2000X panel, Cornboy said, yep, Spinblade Skeletor sucked. Sorry, guys. I thought that was really funny. Yeah, I got a huge applause. That was really cool. So
he's on to something.
Yeah. But it was just great, you know, like I talked and hung out with the Four Horsemen a lot. I actually chatted with Eric quite a bit about like Mosquitor. We actually talked about like different design ideas and everything for the figure, and I thought that was just really cool getting to do that.
You got a shout out for that too.
I did. They gave me a shout out about it in the panel, so that was really cool.
So if they're wondering about design ideas, then he's probably still...
Well, he told me that it's on the schedule, and he said...
There's also everything's
no, like,
on there.
Not like getting closer on the schedule. He says that he actually told me, he's like, I'll check, double check to see where it's at, but I'm pretty sure he's coming up. And then he said, I'm almost positive he's before Ram Man. And I was like, I am totally cool with that. Bring him on.
Dude, we just 100 people just shut off.
Yeah, I know. What? No!
No, Ram Man, I'm not listening.
But I thought that was really cool getting a chance to talk to him about that. We did the roast Google dinner that night where the fans got to sit at tables and have dinner with a lot of the actual talent creators that were there, and that was a really cool experience. Because while I was there, I actually got to talk to Mark Taylor and Ted Mayer. Two of the guys, Roger Sweet was not there.
Aww.
But Mark Taylor and Ted Mayer were both there, so I got to chat with those guys and just kind of talk to them and thank them for everything, and that was really cool. And then I got to talk to Erica Scheimer, which is probably, honestly, swear to God, one of the highlights of my life. I'll be a total geek about it. It was amazing. It was so amazing. I'm serious. I walked up to her, and it's cool because I actually was interviewing her when I did this. So this will actually be on the Google podcast. But I walked up to her and I said, I have a request. Follow my lead. She's like, okay. And then I just went, somewhere out there, someone needs me. And she started laughing and she sung the next part of the verse. And I about started crying because I was so happy that I just sung that song with Erica Shiner. It was awesome. But she was really cool. She got up, she gave me a hug, and she kissed me on the cheek.
Did you roll around next to the lake?
Yeah, yes.
You're supposed around. To. That's yeah. what
Yes, that yes. Been. And then I changed into He-Man and dove in it.
Yeah. That's what I would have done.
It was awesome. She was super cool. And then the other thing that was amazing is they did the Melindy Britt and Alan Oppenheimer were there, and this is the first time they have ever been to a convention. And, of course, if you don't know who that is the voice of She-Ra and the voice of Skeletor. He also did, yeah, Man at Arms and Merman and a few of the other voices. Battle Cats.
If you did one character on Masters, you did at least three, four, or five.
Right. Yep, Melindy was also
and on
Catra.
She-Ra as well.
Yep.
He did a Cobra Commander.
And no, he did not do Cobra Commander.
He did Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac. Oh, definitely Bernie Mac. He did Bernie Mac. But that panel was just really cool listening to those guys talk about their experiences. They both did multiple voices. I mean, he broke into the Skeletor laugh a few times. He did a full-on Skeletor voice. He sounds perfect still. He does it perfect. Sounds just like it. His normal talking voice is Man-at-Arms, so it's kind of weird just listening to him talk because you're just like... So Man-at-Arms is up there just talking about He-Man stuff right now. This is really weird. You know, he did the Merman voice, which was really cool. Melindy did the Catra voice. She did the, what else did she do? She did one of the other voices, too. Oh, Castispella. Yeah. That's the other person. Yeah, she did the Castispella voice.
She was the witch. What was the witch's name?
Shadow Weaver?
No. Madam...
Madam Raz? Was she Madam Raz?
I
don't know. He said no. Madam Raz.
I thought she was Madame Raz.
I'm not sure specifically.
Damian Killen, he was the broom.
Really? Uh-huh. That's amazing.
From Fantasia, too. Right?
From Fantasia? Yes, the broom from Fantasia.
Cobra Commander.
And then it was really cool because somebody in the crowd actually asked her if she would do the For the Honor of Grayskull. And she was like, she's like, oh, the only time I really did that was when we recorded it for the show. And they just used the same one the whole time. They always use that same recording. And she hasn't done it since then. But she was like, I'll go ahead and give it a try. I'll see what we can do. And she stood up and she belted out the whole thing for the honor of Grayskull. I am She-Ra. And like the whole room like stood up and started clapping and cheering. And I think all the nerds in the room just started crying like little kids. And
is this recorded somewhere, I hope?
I felt really good. I filmed it and it's up right now.
You said that. I'm goofy.
It was seriously just one of the coolest experiences I've ever. That's awesome. I mean, just hearing her say that was just like, it was goosebump worthy. It really was. It was just the coolest thing ever.
I mean, she did an interview. I guess a couple weeks before PowerCon, and she said in that interview that she had not done it since, and that she had thrown out some stipulations that the only way she would do it was if John and Lou and everybody was there, and you guys got kind of lucky.
She did it. Anyway. Well, she was the sweetest lady too. I'll tell you what, and I think she was just completely overwhelmed. She just, you know, this is the first time she's done a convention like this, so. Her and Alan both just, I don't think they realized that this fan base was as big and as strong as it was and that so many people really cared about this stuff. And so I think when she just kind of realized and witnessed it, she was just like, she was totally, you know, taken aback and she just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. She just kept thanking us over and over again, you know, like you guys are just making me feel so happy, thank you. And, you know, it was really cool because, like, she was talking about, one of the things I thought was really cool, somebody asked her if there was anything that really stood out from doing the whole She-Ra thing. Like, what was one thing that really stood out as one of her, like, when she realized kind of that it was something that was changing kids' lives or whatever. And she actually talked about the morals at the end of the episodes. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that, you know, we all kind of poke fun at and everything now, but you really think about it, like, those really did make a difference.
Oh, the morals were awesome.
Yeah. And she specifically cites this moment where she received a letter about a little girl who had been molested and had been keeping it bottled up and not telling anybody until there was an episode of She-Ra where She-Ra told in the moral, you know, if anybody ever touches you or whatever, tell an adult. And she went and told her mom that She-Ra told her to tell her that this had happened. Yeah, and
that
she said,
made me cry.
Yeah, I know. And she was almost crying talking about it, and she was just talking about how that moment right there was the moment she realized that what she was doing was, you know,
that's
was
pretty
meaningful.
Deep.
I was surprised that she told that particular one.
Yeah,
see, and it's whenever you contrast stories like that against the people who want to put a negative connotation to what something like that for children meant.
Yeah.
That really upsets me and really makes me mad.
For sure.
You know, so.
But it was, yeah, so I mean, like I said, that entire panel, like, if you, anybody that wasn't there and that missed it, you need to go watch that video if you're a big Masters fan. If you grew up watching those cartoons, this is a must-see panel, because it was just, it was the greatest part of the entire weekend. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was so happy after I left there. I ran straight over, I bought the season one DVD that was on sale, and I got both of them to sign it, because I knew that I had to. It was like a once-in-a-lifetime chance, probably, to get those two to sign something.
And then Christina slept with Man-at-Arms.
Yes, she did. It was really weird. Ew. It was really weird.
What'd I say?
No, but it was
ancient.
So the next part is really that story that is really cool is when I actually went to do the autographs. It was really neat because you got a chance to actually sit there and talk to them for a little bit. Right before I left, I got the four new Masters figures in the mail. Oh, cool. Power, She-Ra, Snout Spout, them. And I ended up taking them with me. I was like, I'm going to take these with me because I think it'd be really cool to kind of let people see them and everything before they're out, you know? I did that. So I'm in line, and I'm standing there, I'm talking to Melindy.
So you totally got Bubble Power autographed.
I didn't get it autographed, no, because...
That would have been awesome,
though. Because it's just the figure. I don't have them in the package, and I have to review this figure, so I can't Yeah. So, but what I did do is I'm standing there, I'm talking to her, and she just made mention that she didn't even realize that Mattel had started a new toy line until she got there and saw the Mattel booth, and she hadn't actually seen her figure yet. And I was like, well, as a matter of fact, I have your new one right here. And I pulled it out, and she was so excited. So Melindy Britt played with my Bubble Power She-Ra action figure. So I just thought that was really cool, and she couldn't believe it. She goes, oh my gosh, they're so articulated now, and look how, these are so great. She just thought it was the coolest thing ever.
This looks just
like
me.
Yeah, she just thought it was awesome. And I was just like, this is really cool. She was playing with my She-Ra toy. This is really cool, you know? So, I mean, the whole experience was great. We had a lot of fun, you know, I got to MC the cosplay contest, so that was really cool, and I screened, the Power and Honor video, which
was
awesome. I hated being in the room while people were watching my video. I gotta be completely honest. It was the most awkward thing, sitting there wondering if people were judging what I had done. But, you know, when it was over and everybody clapped, I mean, it was really cool getting to do that. So,
well, you know, some DHs were like, well, what about this or what about that? But most of the people are just there to have a good time and enjoy it.
It was really cool. I mean, like, every seat was full and there was people standing in the back watching. So it was a great turnout for it. And that made me feel really good. And, a few people yelled first when the video was over, and that
you
was hilarious.
Told them
I know. Well, because I totally told them that I wouldn't feel right if somebody didn't say first when the video was over, because that's what I'm used to. And then so I got to do that, and that was just a lot of fun, you know. And the art auction was great that night. I mean, it was just really cool watching people spend lots and lots and lots of money on He-Man art. Man, some of that stuff towards the end was getting high dollar.
$500?
Yeah.
Close to $500. I don't think it ever made $500, but
I think the Ed McGuinness piece went for like $475 or something like that.
The Beast statue went for $300.
Yeah, the Beast Man statue. I think it was like $375.
Well, what was like the cheapest thing, though?
$45, I think.
Yeah, I don't think anything was lower than double digits.
There was a napkin with a He-Man sword drawn on it.
There were a few pieces
for 60.
There was a few pieces of art that probably went for like the $30 range, but almost everything was...
How would you feel if you donated the art and you got $30?
Well, I mean, wanted to buy it, so...
Yeah, I mean, it was still money. Yeah,
but
that
if you're
you
like, if you're Joe Schmo and you know, and you just do it just because, but then the, you know, like Earl Norm has donated a piece, you can't really feel bad when he makes $350 and you make...
Oh, I would.
Everything that was donated was awesome.
It hurts my feelings. I want to win.
The thing was really good.
What did you guys buy me? You know I collect He-Man art. Did you guys get me anything?
I did not get you anything at the auction.
Christina?
Sorry, I was the one holding the art.
Thanks, guys.
I didn't click art.
Thanks.
No one knew he was so sophisticated.
I couldn't. Yes.
What's only He-Man art? Let that go.
Scotty Cash is sophisticated.
Don't ruin my
street cred.
I everything
first, so no, I couldn't bid on it. Sorry.
Let me have one of those, will you?
Here you go, bro. So, yeah, overall, it was a fantastic time. I'm definitely glad that they're going to... they're going to do it again. So I know that for sure. I know they're still looking to lock in dates, but I would definitely say it was a success, and I think it's only going to get bigger from here, because I've seen nothing but people say, oh man, I wish I was there, I'm definitely going next year, and this, so I
would guess that their, like, cream of the crop, like, iconic moment would be getting John Irwin and Melindy Britt there together.
That would be cool. So, she did talk about...
Yeah, that's He-Man, right?
Or, like, and I don't want to being serious, or like a Dolph.
Dolph would be awesome.
He was huge. Yeah. Plus, he was He-Man in the movie. You know, that would be a big deal.
Gary Goddard made a surprise appearance. The guy that directed the movie.
Very awesome.
He made a surprise appearance during the Toy Masters Songster panel. Songster is actually already, they're already talking to him about coming next year. So, yeah, he'll probably be there.
Everybody's going to go, who?
Was that? Yeah. The guy you were just talking about, the one that was sitting in front of me?
No.
No?
What? Sitting in front of you.
Yeah, that was Val.
No. No, Songster is the...
No, the other guy.
The director.
Gary Goddard?
Yeah. No, he wasn't the one sitting.
No, that was somebody that worked for Mattel. That was sitting by you.
Some suit.
Yeah, some soup.
No, he wasn't.
He was one of the older guys that worked there. Yeah, that was kind of cool, too. They did, like, a panel. So they did a panel with Mark Taylor, Ted Mayer, Paul... I don't remember. A couple of those guys that worked on the original toy line, which, overall, very good panel. It was really cool hearing them talk about it. But I got to admit, Mark Taylor is just so hell-bent on making sure everybody knows that he created Masters of the Universe, and nobody else.
Which is not correct.
And it's just like, he starts the panel by going, "I'm Mark Taylor, and I created Masters of the Universe," and you're just like, oh boy, here we go. And that was like, and through the whole thing, he just kept making sure to let you know.
Which I thought was funny, because the guy that was sitting in front of me came up to me and started telling me that people don't know this, but Paul's the one that created.
Yeah, some random other person that's not Mark or Roger Sweet. So, I don't know. It's a total mystery. I will give them all credit for what they did.
So, next year, they're going to have a face-off.
No, it's going to be... there's only one way to do this. Seriously. Paper, rock, scissors.
Paper, rock, scissors.
Whoever wins,
Mark,
did
Roger,
it.
Paper, rock, scissors. Go. I'll give them both credit for what they did.
So,
they both contributed.
So, was there a lot of, like...
No.
Look, Roger Sweet. Look. Roger Sweet started Masters of the Universe. Mark Taylor contributed more than Roger Sweet after the initial.
I think it,
theory was
Roger
done.
Sweet was like He-Man. I think He-Man was Roger Sweet's idea. I think the barbarian type gimmick that it turned into was Mark's idea. And I think those two obviously just meshed together and created. I think, honestly, I will give them both credit for it. Yes, they do. And they still hate each other.
Yeah, they hate each other. Then they hate each other now. But it's like, and Mark Taylor is always saying, well, I drew this, which is in that book.
Torak,
when I was like 12 years old. Yeah. Okay. First of all, tough guy, I don't believe that for a second. You're going to tell me you drew this when you were 12, you've been working on toys for how many years, and you never tried to do He-Man by yourself until someone else goes, hey, this is He-Man, and it's starting to sell. Hey, that's my idea. Well, guess what? I made Ninja Turtles. Yep. Write that down.
Yeah, it's. I'll give them both credit. I'm not even going to like let those two argue it out, I guess.
I want to see that debate.
Well, it's going to be on that Toy Masters documentary. Those two are like...
Oh, face-to-face debate.
Yeah, they won't do it. Because Roger Sweet says Mark Taylor's scared, and Mark Taylor says Roger Sweet's scared.
That's why you need to invite him to a surprise panel.
Some old man, dude.
Lights on, you're both right next to each other. You're locked in the
room. That's right, that's what I was
saying. There's only one way to do that, dude. You got to have Jerry Springer. You got to have Springer host it.
Remax Steve for security?
For sure. Snatches up Roger Sweet, throws him on the ground. Steve.
Yeah, that's something else, man. That feud's crazy. God.
What else? Did you buy me anything?
I didn't buy you anything, no.
Barely
bought myself anything.
Oh, that's a cop-out.
Like, the only things I bought was that DVD, and then I bought myself two new Adventures figures, and that's it. That's all
and
I bought.
On card?
No. There were some really cool vendors there, first of all. They had a lot of things that I have never seen before. A lot of these guys had on sale. Like, first of all, two of the vendor booths had that ride on Battle Cat. That little spring Battle Cat horse thing.
What?
You've never seen
that
before?
Have you never seen this?
No.
Oh, you know those rocking horses that are on the springs? There was a Battle Cat
one
of those.
It was like $400.
They were like, I think both booths were selling it for around $400.
That's a steal.
One of them sold one of them while they were there.
That is a steal.
Yeah.
I need that.
What's the
weight limit on that?
Probably.
Is it more than 225?
Probably. Yes.
About a quarter, Scotty.
Darn.
I saw people walking out of there buying like the role play sets. You remember the old role play sets with like the sword and the shield and everything in the big boxes? Somebody had all of those, like a He-Man, a Skeletor, and another one, and were selling them for like $75 a piece, I think. And one guy walked out with all of them. I saw just carrying the stack away.
They
I saw.
Did you
one...
see the original Mattel light up power sword?
I saw the new adventures one was on sale.
I didn't know they had a light up one.
Yep. Had a yellow blade and a black hilt.
Yes. I know exactly which one you're talking about.
It didn't light up though, right? Yeah,
batteries went in the handle.
I know what you're talking about.
Right. Somebody had a toy box, like one of the old school toy boxes with the sliding doors, had the Masters of the Universe print on it, the chalkboard on it. It was awesome. This one booth was really cool. They had this big vinyl display that looked like it like hung up around the shelves like this. So it had like a banner going across the top and going like this. But it was like a hard plasticky vinyl type, and it was kind of like the 3D print. So it had like He-Man and Skeletor battling on the top, and Battle Cat and Beastman and Man at Arms coming down the sides. It was awesome.
Wow, they made that.
They wanted like $1,000 for it.
Pesos?
It looked like it was an old store display. Is what it was. And then somebody had, like, that same booth also had the old store display, the one that was He-Man holding the big, like, crater over his head.
Oh, nice.
That's the first time I've ever seen that in person. So they had that for sale.
That's well known.
Another one for sale that was, like, a Castle Grayskull, but it was, like, wasn't actually the playset. It was, like, just, like, the front of Castle Grayskull, and it had this big platform that it was sitting on that you would stand all the figures on. It was another store display. It was awesome.
How about
it? It was several hundred dollars, but it was really cool to see. Yeah.
How much you got on that? Did you ask him that?
How much you got on that?
There was also a guy that was making costumes. Really nice costumes.
I was telling Scott about that earlier, the guy that had the... He's on the He-Man.org forums, actually. He had awesome Evil-Lyn costume, Triclops costume. They were amazing.
And heavy.
Very, very cool.
The stuff... I mean, I'm not into collecting rare stuff, but... I would almost want some of that stuff you would just talked about.
It's
like
awesome
that,
looking
like that
at
Castle
it.
Grayskull yeah. stand. That's yeah, like sure. that's like that's got to be. There's maybe like five of those left. There's got to be.
Yeah.
You know, because not only were stores supposed to throw that stuff away, you know what I mean? Who knows that if they didn't throw it away, someone kept it in decent condition.
Right.
So that thing is every you know worth every penny of probably $300.
It was awesome just looking at them. It was really cool. But that do you remember when we were in San Diego and the guys gave us the cards that looked like the carded Masters figure? It was their stand.
Oh, wow.
They were the ones that had all this stuff. And
I kept his card. I don't even know what it was. I was just like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I kept it. It was He-Man.
They got a store. You can probably go to their site and see all this stuff. It's really cool.
Can I have it?
That's where I got the New Adventures figures from, though, because they had a bunch of loose, complete figures, and they were selling the New Adventures one for like, $15 apiece. And I was like, well, some of these I've never seen before. So I got Staghorn.
Headbutt.
And no, Staghorn, though, who is super ugly. You guys remember Staghorn?
No, I don't remember
Staghorn. I got a picture here. And then I got Flipshot because I didn't have Flipshot, and I needed him to compare with the new figure. And I was like, why wouldn't I get this? He's right here, and he's complete. I better go ahead and buy it now.
I have Flipshot without any of his stuff, I believe. Maybe his helmet.
That's Staghorn.
Super
ugly character.
No, don't remember him at all.
That's probably that episode I was sleeping through.
There's my signed DVD. Yeah, so I got those from them, but it was really cool.
We've seen that in Toy Man.
The DVDs, yeah, those are the new ones that just came out.
He even had
the Emiliano did the artwork for, so I got him to sign it too.
Emiliano does everything for everything.
He does. He really does.
Yeah, he actually.
He's a very talented
made
man.
Made my T-shirt.
Very talented man.
Very nice.
Oh, you know what else you would have loved there? Which I got footage of. I need to put together still. They actually had a room set aside that was like the toy museum, and they had. Pretty like every vintage figure, every 2000X figure, it was like all the playsets, all the figures from all the lines.
Who's that?
Different fans donated them to come and set up. So like there were different people's collections that were there.
All carded.
No, they were loose. So they had these amazing. They were just like Damien's glass cases over here from IKEA. They had a bunch of those pillars, and they were just like full of the figures, all like.
Displayed
the
ones we have?
Yeah, and they were awesome looking. So they had like they had every She-Ra figure. They had this one part in the She-Ra cabinet that was She-Ra wearing every one of the different costumes that was released.
Holy cow!
It was so cool seeing them. They had the Crystal Castle, the Crystal Falls playset. They had all the horses.
Wow.
They had everything. They had all the New Adventures figures in there, including some of the later releases like Hook 'Em Flog and some like the super rare ones that you can't find anywhere. It was awesome. And they had two cases set up for just Thundercats too. All the old Thundercats figures: Bengali, Jaga, Thunder Tank. All that stuff was there.
Damn.
It was awesome. It was just awesome.
Was there any security?
No. All the cases were bolted shut. I tried to open one. It didn't
work. I need to review these at my house.
But it was great. It was just really cool just looking at all that stuff.
I'm so surprised somebody doesn't have that collection. Like,
Emiliano does.
Yeah, Emiliano's got a lot of that stuff. Josh Van Pelt does too.
Yeah, Josh has a ton of crap.
Ton of that stuff. So I think some of that came from Josh, actually. I think a lot of that was his. But I know one specific, like, all the New Adventures figures belong to one of the He-Man.org forum members because he has the entire collection. So he just brought the whole thing and they set it up there.
Amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. It's very, very cool stuff. Well, he was telling me that, like, some of those later figures he actually had to pay a lot of money for. Like, Hook 'em Flog, he paid $350 for to get, because it's that rare.
Yeah, there's not very many of them.
Yeah.
With the backpack?
Huh?
The He-Man backpack?
Yes, that was that guy. Okay. Yep, that was the guy with the He-Man backpack. Yep.
Did you show him your He-Man laptop bag?
Yes, I did.
Did you guys bump bags?
Totally bump bags. Boo! Well, everybody there liked my bag, even though Christina makes fun of it all the time.
I think he's going to preschool.
Every time I put
a lunchbox. Every time
I put that bag on, she's like, "You look like you're going to school." I'm like, "Thanks, thanks
you
man.
Said that.
I never get y'all.
And then when you leave, she knocks over your toys.
No, now he's going to school. That's too funny. All right. Well, this looks like a good place to take a commercial break. So let's do that, and
when we come back, we're going to talk about the good show.
The Toy
Man.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Hi there. You're listening to a podcast, which you can only find on PopCultureNetwork.com. My name is Chris Vint, and I'm the host of a couple of podcasts on PopCultureNetwork.com, such as Master Universe Chronicles and Operation Retroshock. But today, I'm here to talk to you about Master Universe Chronicles. Are you a fan of all things He-Man, Masters of the Universe? Do you love the vintage toys, but you're not thinking, I don't really know an awful lot about them? Well, why don't you listen to Master Universe Chronicles? I've got interviews with Pop Culture Network's own Pixel Dan. I've got even interviews with the head of Mattel, brand manager Scott Toy Guru Knightlick, Larry DiTillo, who worked in the Filmation One, Dean Steffen, who worked in the 2002 incarnation of Master Universe. So yeah, why not even head over to the Pop Culture Network forums, have your say on what episodes you would like to see featured on my episode commentaries with James Bustatoon's E-Talk. There's a lot going on, I would love to have you involved, so why not listen to the show and contribute, and head over to the forums. And until next time.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com. Part of the Pop Culture Network.
Are you a fan of Mattel's Masters of the Universe toy line? How about Princess of Power, New Adventures of He-Man, or 2000X Masters of the Universe? Hey guys, I'm Pixel Dan, and my new show, Power and Honor, the World of Masters of the Universe Toys, takes a look at all of the above-mentioned lines. In every episode, I'll take a look at a different action figure, vehicle, or playset from the world of He-Man. It's a great place where you can reminisce about your favorite toys from the past, or even learn some things that you may not have already known. A new episode airs bi-weekly on He-Man.org and PopCultureNetwork.com. Swing by and check it out. Good journey!
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bates, and if you love toys, come check out my show, Not Mitten Box, every Tuesday on the Pop Culture Network.
Welcome back to It Figures, the action figure podcast on itfigures.com/podcast.
Oh. That's it.
.net.
itfigures.com/podcast.net.
That's
perfect.
Right. I'm Dong. Pixel Dong.
Pixel Dong.
I meant Ding Ding Dan. Never mind. Just continue.
Ding Dan.
We can't do Toy Man yet. We forgot the reveals.
Okay. All right. So one of the things that Mattel did while they were there is they actually revealed a whole bunch of figures, which I was not expecting.
Yeah, I thought they were going to do
one. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I thought they were going to do three, and they still did more than that. So that was really cool. So they did them. The panel was the very first thing of the very first day was the Mattel panel. And by the way, I forgot to say that earlier. They had a panel every hour, all day long, both days. Wow. So it was impossible to do everything. It was really hard because I had to seriously decide, okay, which panels can I miss so I can actually go look at the show floor. I didn't go to the show floor for the first time until Saturday afternoon because I did nothing but panels the first part of the day. But the Mattel panel kicked off the whole show, and that's where they did the reveals. And then after that, they put them in the cases, and you got to go look at them. So they revealed several figures. The first figure they revealed was Stinkor.
Yeah, I kept getting texts from you, and I was like, pictures? And you're like, no.
There's no pictures yet. Yeah.
Not until I go to the show floor. I'm still in these panels.
Sorry.
I kept going to He-Man out of work, trying to find pictures, and nobody had anything up yet.
Yeah, nobody was there. Yeah, I know. Well, like, I was, because they did the same thing they did in San Diego, where they had the screen, and they did a slideshow thing, but I was in the back of the room with the tripod set up filming, so there was no way I could, like, use my phone to take pictures of it. It was too far away. So I was like, well, I'll get the pictures when I get to the floor. So yeah, Stinkor was the first one revealed, and he's awesome looking. He includes two heads. He's got the repainted Merman head. He's also got a brand new head that is not quite 2000X, but a little more 2000X-esque, which is the same thing they've done with, like, Fisto and stuff. That one's got, like, the removable gas mask. You can pop that on and off if you want to. And
very cool.
Then he's got the shield, and he's got the a new gun that they created for him that he's never had before. So he was awesome. And he uses the Beastman body and not the Merman body. So he's actually furry, which is apparently how the original card back art was, showed him with the Beastman body. But the figure had the...
And he stinks.
Body. And yes, he stinks. Stinks.
Did like they terrible. Show his gun?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's in the
picture.
Just
show his gun. Okay. He's holding his gun right there. It's like a brand new gun. Cool. It's got like a little hose. Yeah. So, what'd you guys think of it? You guys happy about Stinkor?
He looks like a perfect revamp of the original.
Yeah, I mean, and not to downplay the figures, but it sucks that they do such a great job because we already know what they're going to look like. Because they do such a perfect job.
Yeah.
You can imagine what the figure is going to look like. You know, when they do like a Ram Man or something, it's going to be different. But for a figure like Stinkor, you're like, I already know what that's going to look like.
Stinkor has been one of those characters that it's been like just a matter of time. Yeah. You know, like I think we've been counting on seeing Stinkor at the last two reveals because it's just like he's so easy.
Yeah, all the pieces were already there
except for the Mechaneck armor. But now we have the Mechaneck armor, which means Mechaneck is probably very close. Yeah, exactly. So, they also gave him like the little tanks on his back.
I'm really glad
backpack.
They gave him the
yeah,
tanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's and I do believe you can pop that off if you don't want to have it on there. So.
No Otifus.
Sorry.
Well, it's not a classics, though. Otifus was a little guy in 2002, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, 2000X or whatever.
Yeah.
They
might do them eventually, but there's a lot of other little guys I think they're going to do first. Like,
well, that...
Cowl.
He's a big fan favorite.
Yeah.
For whatever weird reason. He was in one episode for half an episode,
and then he turned into Stinkor.
He's a little furry, obscure...
Stinkor.
Thing.
And then he turned into Stinkor. Yeah. Well, that's just like little Count Marzo. Everybody wants the little old man Count Marzo, too.
Yeah. That's a little different, though. That's a little different.
All right. The next figure they revealed was the next New Adventures figure, which is awesome because they just did Flipshot. Flipshot's coming out, and now we get Slushhead. So we got two back-to-back. So there we go, Slushhead. And I was very happy to see Slushhead. I think he's the... Behind Optic, he's the next figure everybody wanted out of the New Adventure stuff, I think. So I think that was a logical step for them to take. And I'm very happy to learn that they have it so that you can put your own water in the helmet if you want to.
Cool.
So you can fill it up with water, which I definitely will, because that's how the original figure was. But yeah, he looks awesome. I'm very happy
for him. I'm putting Kool-Aid in mine.
Well, that's weird.
Whatever.
What flavor?
Green. Duh. Yeah.
All right, the next one they revealed was one that was completely out of left field. Did not expect this at all.
Movie Sorceress.
No, not Movie Sorceress. Temple of Darkness Sorceress. It's just a repaint, so she's all white, but she's got these really cool, like, translucent, crystal-y wings, so they're, like, translucent white. She is modeled after her appearance in the mini-comic Temple of Darkness, where she wore this white outfit. And she comes with the stand for your orb that came with
awesome.
King Grayskull. So now we have somewhere to put that blue marble thing that he came with that just rolls off the shelf. She is going to be a traveling convention exclusive in 2012. So similar to how they did with the Justice League 3 packs this year, next year this figure will be at most of the conventions except San Diego. So she's going to be at C2E2, she's going to be at WonderCon, she's going to be at New York Comic Con, and she's going to be at PowerCon. So she's going to be the traveling exclusive next year. So that's very cool. I think she looks great.
So she'll be available in February when we go. Or when is that?
March.
C2E2. March.
April. March or April. I think it got moved again. I think it's in April next year. So yeah, so she'll be there in April. She should be there in April.
Shaking
back. What do you guys think about her? You like it?
I mean, yeah, I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
It's quick that we're getting a repaint of her so quick, but I totally dig it. I think
like
she
you said,
great.
A lot of people are going, "Oh, that's the sorceress in the movie," because she's got the all white on, which is perfectly fine. You know, it could be whatever you want. But yeah, she looks awesome, and I like how she's going to be exclusive to everywhere, so you don't have to freak out and spend extra money on her if you can't make it to one con.
Yep. All right. The next, they revealed the next large scale beast, which is another one that was completely out of left field. I did not expect this at all. Is the Griffin. Based on the beast that Beastman rides in, like, the 2000X series and everything. It utilizes the Beastman body, but it's got brand new feet, brand new tail, brand new head, but the body itself is the same. Oh, and it's got Swiftwind's wings. And it's funny, I was actually talking to Cornboy about it, and he says the day they sculpted the Beastman body is the same day they decided they were going to use that body for the Griffin, and they designed it.
Wait,
right
what?
Then.
You mean the Battlecat body?
The Battlecat body, yes.
Oh,
sorry,
I was like,
not
wait,
Beastman,
what?
Battlecat.
I was looking and I was like...
I am so sorry, guys. That would be really weird. Battlecat body. Battlecat and Panther body. Cornboy was saying that they always had in mind to do a Griffin using that body, and I thought that was really neat, but... I did not expect this, but I am totally happy with it. I think he looks great.
Yeah, I think he's cool.
Okay.
What do you think, Scott? I know you're kind
of... I'm going to give all my stuff at the end of when you're done.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Snake Mountain Stands is one that I totally wasn't expecting because I didn't think the Grayskull Stands did that well. Not a lot of people really seem to care about them. I know I thought they were okay, but I don't use them for anything.
You should let me have them.
Well, no. I want to keep them still, but I'm not using them to stand my figures up.
Okay.
But, you know, whatever. Snake Mountain Stands. They are, like, more black than they are purple, and I questioned that, and I was told that that's the final color, so I thought that was kind of weird.
And half of it is lava.
And half of it's lava, so, you know, your figures are just going to be standing in molten lava for whatever reason.
Which is completely normal.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, when you're that jacked, it doesn't hurt you.
Yeah, I guess that's true. When you're the evil warriors, whatever. So... whatever, that's kind of cool. I'm not too fussed about it, I guess. And the last thing that they revealed is the next figure in the 30th anniversary set, which is the all original characters. And this is the one that is designed by Toy Guru, by Scott Nylick, which was apparently his original submission to the original 80s Create a Character contest. So he's getting his figure made. The name of the character is the Mighty Spector. And... he's had a lot of criticism so far because you look at this character and he honestly really does look way out of place because he looks like a DC Universe character. He looks like Deadpool or Deadshot or any of those kind of characters. Yeah. That's what I heard a lot of people comparing him to over the
weekend.
He's
very, very plain and simple.
And I kind of feel bad for Scott, but when this got revealed at the panel, dead silence in the room. There was, like, zero reaction whatsoever. And, you know, he tried to explain it and hype it up, and everybody's just kind of like, I don't know about that. You know, everybody's kind of, I don't know. But he did explain during the walkthrough a little bit of information about him. Apparently, this is the same character as Lieutenant Spectre, which is the Royal Guard that has his face, Scott's face. The bio is going to tell a story about how this Royal Guard Lieutenant Spectre gets this costume and becomes this time-traveling hero named the Mighty Spectre. So he's the same
Good
character.
God.
He's a time-traveling hero. If you notice, his wrist has a miniature cosmic key strapped to it. That's how he travels time. And,
yes, it does!
Yep, it's got a little tiny cosmic key.
I didn't notice that.
It's got the little gold buttons on it and everything. And then he's got this crazy plasma thing where, like, he's got these...
On the right hand?
He's got this, strap on his leg that has little green bullets in it that can actually be removed, and they can be placed in either the cosmic key on one hand or in the little gun thing on his other hand. So they're supposed to be, like, his plasma bullets.
So we're getting bullets? Awesome.
That's weird, right? Yeah. And he's got a holster to put his gun in. So, I don't know. He's an interesting character. I don't really have much else to say about him at the moment, just because he's a little out of place feeling to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess we'll kind of see when he comes out. But That's it for the reveals. Oh, last thing. They did sneak into the case on the last day.
I don't think you've seen this.
A small little golden ring with a snake wrapped around it, which I believe is called the Serpent's Ring. This is from the 2000X episode Second Skin. This is the thing that King Hiss was using to turn Teela and Man-at-Arms into snakes.
You know what that means.
So they're saying this is a future accessory with somebody, so...
I need another Snake Teela, man.
It might be Snake Teela. Maybe it's just coming with a future Snake Man. Maybe, I don't know, Rattler's coming out and he's going to come with it. I don't know.
Or maybe we're getting a Snake Teela.
Or maybe we're getting a Snake Teela.
A two-pack of Man-at-Arms and Snake Teela with that little silly thing in there.
I don't know, but I guess we've got that to look forward to.
I like the Snake Teela variant in the 2000X line, and I was disappointed that they never got to do a Man-at-Arms version.
You know, well, you can kind of already do a Man-at-Arms version now because there's totally that snake palace guard head with the palace guards that I'm almost positive is supposed to be so you can make a snake Man-at-Arms. I'm almost positive that's the reason for it.
Yeah, because they're just like, yeah, that's a race.
And they've never told us. Yeah, they've never given us an explanation for it, but they said there's a reason for it being there. I'm almost positive that's why they put that in there. Right. So you can make a snake Man-at-Arms. But we might get a snake Teela. And honestly, if they do her, she'll probably be better this time. She'll probably actually have like sculpted scales and stuff and not just be like a straight repaint.
Right.
But I got to be honest, I'm not really feeling a snake Teela again. I don't really...
I'm not either.
I don't...
I for sure want one.
I know that you want one. Why? How many of those will you buy?
So you have, can you have 70?
Will you grade them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to kick his girl out of the house so he can lay all the snake Teelas next to him. You'll sleep on the couch. I'm sleeping with Teela again.
Jealous?
Yeah.
All right.
Jealous much?
Well, why don't you guys give your opinions on all that stuff?
Rick.
If there's anything that really stands out or that you're really excited for.
I'm really excited for the Slush Head figure, but I really wish that they would have done Flog first.
Flog? Yeah.
Just because
Flog... I like Flog. I hope Flog gets made.
Next to He-Man and Skeletor, Flog was the only New Adventures figure that I ever had as a kid.
Oh, really?
So I kind of have...
Yeah, because Flog was oversaturated on the shelves, plus he was in the two-packs a lot.
Yeah.
Well, he was technically the leader of the Space Mutants, so they have to make him at some point. He's the... Because Skeletor just kind of tricked him.
Right.
Yeah, you run things, Flog. Yeah, whatever.
Well, even Flog was like, this ain't going to last long. Except for I'm going to follow you around for a whole season.
I totally am not feeling this Spectre figure at all. And I'm pretty sure that there already is a DC character called the Spectre.
This is a mighty Spectre, ding dong, man, come on.
Oh, yeah, there is a DC character called Spectre. It's a Green Lantern type thing, right? They had a DC Universe figure of Spectre. Hmm. I have it.
And we all know he likes Green Lantern. Coincidence? Conspiracy.
I think not. What else, Rick?
That's it, really, as far as like anything that I'm opposed to. I really like the Sorceress, and I really like the Stinkor, and the fact that, you know, now that we've got that armor probably means we're gonna see Mechaneck before too much later.
Do you guys think that when they do Mechaneck, his neck will work just like Tall Star's attachments?
Yes.
And they'll just have an attachable
neck.
So
easy to do.
Yeah. That's a great way to do it, too, I think. Especially if they make a long one that's bendy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So you can bend his neck. Remember how long his neck got in the 2000X cartoon?
Well, it went all the way in the clouds and was like going crazy.
Or like the time when on the Count Marzu episode when he's like winding it through that mountain and picks up the amulet with his mouth and then it just like comes back. Yeah. That's awesome.
Made of Stretch Armstrong material.
That'd be great.
What do you think?
Anything stand out for you, Killen?
The Griffin's kind of cool, just because to me, that's like a new thing. I didn't even expect that.
Yeah.
So
you're still feeling pretty burnt. You're still feeling.
I'm kind of. I don't know. Sometimes, like when we reveal a lot of this Master stuff, it kind of makes me want to keep going, but. I don't know. I'm really on the fence right now.
You're getting kind of close to calling it quits with Masters?
I'm starting to feel the pinch on it, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this forever. But I think scale back a little bit and keep pumping things out like this, I'll be okay.
It is a big year for it, that's for sure.
I kind of feel that these all are B-list characters, and what they need right now is an A-list character more than ever. With them adding money to the figures, you know, I love Slushhead, by the way, but I think that was stupid to do.
Really?
Yeah, because a lot of people didn't want New Adventures figures. A lot of people don't want, you know, pop figures. So I think, well, I mean, if you're going to do that, they could have at least done a Skeletor or He-Man first. That would have been an A-list character. And I think that they need that right now just because they're going through a lot of scrutiny.
You don't see He-Man and Skeletor versions from New Adventures being more of a variant than an A-list character since they're
No. Just like well, they're still variants of A-list characters.
Well, who else would you consider somebody that they should have done?
A Ram Man. I know he's not, I'm sure he's not ready, and I'm not, oh God, Ram Man, I'm not that guy, you know, but Ram Man has been, you know, demanded, or, you know, let me think of another character here, I don't know, another, I guess they're about out of mainstream characters.
Too pretty bad. Sure Ram Man is a, in case of emergency, break glass figure, you know, too bad probably is, too.
Too bad
will be awesome when they get him, though.
Too bad.
That'll be sweet.
They needed somebody to blow the doors off, and instead we got a B-list Stinkor, which is nice, a B-list Slushhead, which probably a lot of people are upset about, and then that Griffin that there's absolutely no need for. You know what I mean? It looks awesome. You know, don't get me wrong. I just think there's a lot of other things that with the money, like you just said, you know, everybody's in a pinch. Well, this is going to, something like that is going to be part of the subscription. You know it is. So this is going to be something like someone that's in a pinch is going to give them that much more reason to go, nah, you know, because that thing's going to be what, 30, 40 bucks?
30, yep.
Yeah, I don't.
30 bucks.
I don't
even. It's not bad, though.
I don't want that thing.
If you're already paying.
I could have the Wind Raider for 30 bucks. I don't want.
45. Oh, by the way, yeah. Wind Raider got pushed back and increased $5 on price. It's 45.
I really don't even care about
that. Okay, fine. I can have Swift one for 30.
I got to be honest. The Wind Raider, I'd rather have Beast than a vehicle.
No, oh, the Wind Raider was the vehicle.
I love the Wind Raider. God, it looks so awesome. Getting to look at it again.
It was just the vehicle, you know.
It looks great. I'm excited.
That's just kind of my thought on that. Now, looking at the figures, you know, and you gave me the text, and I was excited, but just, like, stopping and looking back, like, the stands are kind of goofy, and then you got the Toy Guru's goofy figure, and then you're just like, like, this is just super, like...
goofy.
This is B-plus at best. Yeah. All right. I don't know. They should have announced, like, even lied, just like, and... we are going to do mini-comics. So then everybody's just like, yes! And then in 2 months ago... we don't have the funds.
That would be bogus.
Well, it don't matter. They need something.
Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, sure.
Does it splash over half a second on the screen and don't say nothing about it? Just to freak everybody out.
I mean, what
like
other
a subliminal message? Yeah. Just like a quick flash.
What other figure could they do right now?
It was there, but it wasn't.
A-list.
Mosquitor.
Yeah, Mosquitor.
Jitsu.
No, he's not A-list.
Now that there's a Fisto, though, I think a lot of people are going to want a Jitsu sooner than later.
I consider any character that made an appearance in the Filmation cartoon to be an A-list character.
Well, no, because
lot of people made an appearance in the Filmation cartoon.
As far as, like, the...
not Mosquitor, though.
Oh, we need the Robot Knights. That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, you know what would have been good?
Like Jitsu.
You know what would have been good? The Horde 2-pack. The Horde Troopers.
Horde Troopers would have been...
it would have blown the doors off that place.
Yes, absolutely. You're definitely right. That would have been one of the best reveals they could have had.
And everybody would have been like... like an exhale. Like, finally, you know, something. Because right now, 2012 is not looking good for a lot of people. The Mattel, it's just not... it's sketchy. It's awful sketchy.
I'm excited about it.
I'm excited.
I think a lot of that stuff looks really good. But I can totally see where you're coming from. I totally get it.
You're just biased.
Yep, I am.
I'm sure that it's painting everything pink, and you'd be like, I'm still going.
I love He-Man's.
Yeah, totally. I definitely dig the pink Skeletor. It's kind of like, you know, breast cancer Skeletor.
Pink Skeletor totally makes sense. I totally get that. I'll buy two.
Especially when it's come out in June for no good reason.
Did anything stand out to you, Christina, that you liked a lot?
I really like the Stinkor.
Stinkor?
I really liked Stinkor.
She likes smelly things.
And the Griffin.
How strong do you think he's going to smell? You remember how strong Boss Man was when we opened him?
When you
him?
First opened him, yeah.
Ah!
I hope it's like the vintage toy, because I remember getting Stinkor at Christmas.
Still smells.
And you could smell him,
smell him
through the wrapping paper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could remember smelling him through the wrapping paper.
I have a vintage Stinkor that's still on card, but the bubble's been sliced. So it's awesome because you can actually crack it open and it's just like super strong inside their smell. And the smell's just held in. So if you ever need like, you know, I got your hookup, bro. Good if I got your hookup if you need some stink or whiff. You just come on.
It's only good if you open the new one and you freak out.
If I get scared?
Yep.
I gotta get scared? Like, can you? I just gotta call my mom. Get this out of here!
Can you text me the smell?
Yeah, yes.
Just a little
I'll text you the smell.
Just a little whiff.
They did say that they got the smell as close as they possibly could to the vintage one. They said they did... It worked really hard to make it as...
Is it that hard to replicate patchouli?
That's what they said. They said they used patchouli, and they wanted to make sure it smelled as much like the old one as possible.
What's patchouli? So
it's
hippie scent.
Yeah, it's whatever scent they used.
You know Scared Eye Rick knows. Welcome back, Ding Dong Rick, to the show.
Oh, you know what else they had there, which I don't have a picture of on my phone? They had the final Thunder Punch He-Man. So he had his backpack on now, and he had the closed fist, and they had the yellow blast coming off of his fist for the punch.
Which pops right off, right?
Yeah. And it looks really cool.
Because he's Dragon Ball Z really punching. Cool.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z punch He-Man. It was amazing. All right, so that was PowerCon and the reveals. Now it's
well, that's
not
kind of lame. Well, we went to Toy Man.
You're right, it was lame.
Speaking of extremely lame.
Tell me about Toy Man.
Was BG there? Yes.
Well, of course he was there. Hey, dude, for the record, dude, you know what? I felt kind of bad after that BG episode. FBG, for the record. He's not a nice guy. When you talk to him face-to-face, yeah, he's great.
There you go.
And then what you come to find out, and then you remember, oh, that's right, he talks about you behind your back like he does everybody else. I'm a criminal, and I went over and talked to him for, like, what, I don't know, 10 seconds, and I walk away, and he tells Killen that I'm mad at him. Really? Well, from what? How? But whatever. Okay. Yeah, Scott's mad at me. Like, for what? I don't even talk to you. How am I mad at you? We're not friends. How are?
Because you didn't talk to him.
I did. Anyway, I don't know. It was kind of meh.
Yeah. Guess we should start from the beginning. So we got here at the crack at 7:30.
That's not the crack of dawn. Okay, I get up every day at like 5:30.
Yeah, that's you.
And you get up.
All the other,
and you get
you
up
and all the other Christians get up at the crack of Jesus, but I got up at
crack of Jesus. Crack of Jesus.
It's harsh for me. I don't get up until 10. Right?
So, no, you wish. 10:25, you get here at 10:30.
Yeah. All right, Mom, don't worry.
No, that's a true statement.
So anyways, we get here, and we load up. Of course, you know, I'm the first one here, because I could be on time. I'm like these dudes.
I got here at 7:30.
No.
That's a true story.
7:31. And so we load up, and we go, and then, of course, I have my daughter with me. And
well, no, first of all, he keeps texting me. Make sure you're there at 9:30. And I'm like, stop playing around. If I get there at 7:30 and you're not there, I'm going to choke you. He's like, no, seriously, 9:30. I'm like, 7:30, stop messing around. He goes, we'll see. So I'm on my way there going, seriously, dude, I'm going to drive to his house and bang on his door and wake up the neighbors as well. But he was there, and of course I got cussed at because I was, you know, 30 seconds late.
No, let's start the story back. He calls me the day before. He goes, hey, do you care if we go to Toy Man? I'm like, it was your idea.
It was your idea.
You're like, because I got these tickets to sports. I was like, great.
Tickets to sports.
First, it was your idea. You asked Rick. You said, so you want to go to Toy Man? That's a true story. Last Tuesday.
I don't think that's how that happened.
And you go, yeah, I might go to Toy Man. Then you decide you're going to save your money for October.
Right.
Kane County. True story.
No, that part of the conversation was true. The other first half was incorrect.
Well,
but anyways, that's not the point. Anyway, this guy tries to skim out for sports. He obviously isn't into toys.
No, I got a phone call.
He's a closet jock.
I've been trying to figure out what time we're going to go all week. And you're like, dude, who cares? I'll let you know the day before. I don't operate that way. I want to know who's driving now. I want to know what time we're leaving. And I want to know what we're going to do. And you're not all about that. You are
He is totally female
it.
On yeah. this. On
no,
you.
Damien is... I will tell you whenever I want to tell you.
Yeah.
It's not a we'll wing it.
Well, he didn't even know.
I didn't know.
I was like, he obviously doesn't care. And somebody calls me up. And my favorite football team is one of them is the Baltimore Ravens. And somebody calls me and goes, hey.
One of them. So he likes all sports.
No, I like Baltimore Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys. And they go, hey, I got 4 free tickets to the Ravens and Rams games. You want them? And I'm like, Like, are you kidding me? Awesome seats. So I called Damien and the other person in the vehicle, and they're both kind of like, I don't know, whatever. So then I decide that I'm going to turn them down and go to the toy show.
That's not how it happened.
Yes, it
but
is.
But anyways, that's besides the point. So we're going to Toy Man, and of course, I had to stop because my daughter had to go pee, which was annoying, and we did that. And then we got in the back of the car, and we're driving a little more, and she's like, I think I'm going to puke. And I'm like, I see a ramp to get off the highway, like maybe a quarter mile down the road. So I'm like, okay, I'll just pull over. And not a couple minutes later, she's like, blah, 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 blah.
Well, she goes, and I'm thinking, you know, I have this, my daughter's 3.5 too, and Rylan just turned 4. So I'm thinking she's just bored. She's just being a 4-year-old. So she's like, I don't feel good. And Killen goes, well, what's the matter? I hurt. And he goes, okay, does your head hurt? Yeah. Does your stomach hurt? Yeah. He goes, okay, do your fingers hurt? Yeah. And so I'm going, nah, she's fine.
Yeah.
So she goes, and we get on, you know, about a minute later, she goes, Dad, I really don't feel good. And he goes, well, are you gonna puke? And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, there ain't no way. And he starts kind of like looking, and I'm like, are you gonna pull off? And he goes, yeah, you never know, you can't chance it. And then we just hear the voice in the back go, yeah, she's throwing up everywhere. So sure enough, she threw up all over.
And of course, I didn't have nothing to wipe it up with in the car, so I had to use like her sweater she was wearing.
Oh, jeez.
And your vinyl wipes for your car.
Oh, and I found vinyl wipes after we had already started leaving.
But. Yeah, so she was upset because she threw up on her pretty dress. My pretty dress! She wasn't very happy about that.
Yeesh. But, yeah. It wasn't even that bad.
I think it was probably just something that she ate. She wasn't used to getting up that early, according to the Killen household.
Yeah, so she just...
If you get up past 11, you know, you're crazy.
That's how it works at our house on weekends.
Yeah, we're nighttime people. What do you want?
Okay.
So I guess we get there with no issues other than that. And
that's about it.
That's a big issue.
And then the Toy Man was about the average show. It wasn't really, like, the hallway that usually is full, just nobody was there.
Yeah, there was nothing.
The ticket was all the way towards the end.
Oh.
To get in.
Inside was completely full. You know, there was nothing...
Overall, this Toy Man...
Three different things, and neither one of them were there. What's going on?
I think it's fine. Keep going.
Oh. I went there for the lead figures that come in the superhero magazines. And he's like, yeah, I brought a bunch of them. Which ones are you looking for? Oh, I'm looking for Steel... Or Kilowog, and he's like, oh yeah, we just sold Kilowog right before you walked up here, and we didn't bring Steel. And I'm like, well, there goes that. And then the DVD guy that's got all the Japanese Power Ranger, the Sentai stuff, he's sick this time. He'll be here next time. So there went that. So then I was like, well, I'll just get, you know, my daughters some silly little toys. I found a bunch of Ninja Turtles on card, and one of my favorite Ninja Turtles is Metalhead. So they had him on card for like... you know, $4 or $5. Oh my God. And so I picked it up, and I'm walking around, and I come up to this bin, and this guy's got just 6, 7, 8, 9 bins just full of random toys. And I see King Arthur from King Arthur and the Knights of Justice. And I already have them, but Danny doesn't have them. And he kind of resembles the old He-Man figures. He's kind of in that crouching position. Real strong. Roger Sweet did not make King Arthur. But anyway, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and pick this up for Danny. So, you know, I give dude a buck or whatever. And I don't realize till later, I left my Metalhead sitting on that table.
Oh man, that is awful.
That's why you hold your toys or put them in the bag.
Well, actually, I let your daughter hold it. So, I didn't want her freaking out. So I was like, here. Because she's like, I want to hold your bag. And Damien had bought Centurions in an unopened box sealed. So I was like, well, we probably don't want her to, you know, damage those. She can just, you know, bend a corner on this.
Yeah.
So then she handed it back, and sure enough, when she handed it back, I must have laid it down and walked away.
Great. That so, sucks, dude.
So, you know.
So that dude put, like, a price tag on it and sold it to somebody.
Oh, more likely.
Jeez.
Price threw it on his 50 cents bins. Another toy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this dude, the dude that I got my Metalhead from, he just went out to the car, this lady's car, and bought, I don't know, 25 Ninja Turtles on card for $30.
Dang.
A bunch of Batman figures. He's like, I don't even want the Ninja Turtle figures. I wanted the Batman figures. Batman's hot right now for whatever reason.
What?
Yep. So.
Yeah, he had a bunch of,
jeez.
He had, some of those obscure, characters too. What was the one that was in there?
The rat. Dig rat? Rat dig?
Tunnel rat.
No, mud rat.
No.
Hold on.
Something dig.
Yeah, he was on card.
Okay,
I never seen that character's already rare. And then here you go, see him on card.
Ninja Turtle character?
Yeah,
the Rat King?
No,
no, no, no.
He's like one of the weird.
He's like a mole. Yeah, and he's got like the construction, like the digging.
Yeah, he was like one of the late.
I forget his name.
Like, rare.
Sween, what's his name? Where are you?
He's mad right now. Going, come on, guys, seriously. It's like dirt rag, rat rag.
You know, you only want a couple dollars, and I'm pretty sure that had it been worth $30-$40, easy. Easy.
Jeez. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and he had a bunch of
them. I never get to find stuff like that.
And there was, like, the Star Trek turtles over there.
Oh, I love those.
That's all the sports turtles.
I'd love to get a set of the Star Trek turtles.
Dirt bag. Yeah, because I kept going. And I said, hey, you need this dirt bag. And it was awesome because my, I guess it'd still be my cousin. My cousin's son was, she's actually like my sister. We grew up real close to one another. But anyway, her son is big into turtles now for whatever reason. And he's like, I think he's 15. And I see this tub. And he's like, yeah, I just got this tub. And I'm like, all right, I'll be right back. So I go and I find my cousin because they're actually there. So I bring him over and his eyes light up like it's Christmas time. And he gets Super Shredder, Metalhead.
Love Super Shredder.
So Metalhead.
Yeah.
Who else did he get? He got one more. Super Shredder, Metalhead, and one more. I don't remember who it was. Yeah, but it was pretty amazing. Then they had a bunch of turtles that were on, like, crap cards, but that were still sealed. That would be perfect for, you know, grading. Right. Casey Jones. Oh, he had all the April O'Neils. The one with the hair, the rooted hair. He had the samurai one. He had the one in the yellow. He had the one in the yellow with the green. He had them all on card. Dang. And he was just like, make me a deal.
Dollar. Dang, that would be awesome.
But dude, that was about the highlight of the trip.
Really? Yeah, otherwise it's the same people you normally see.
No Eternia play sets?
Oh, yeah, everywhere.
Oh, there was a boxed...
What?
There was a boxed Grayskull, wasn't it? Something.
I don't know, but I was salt walking up, though, because if we would have got there when I wanted to leave here, I would have had a shot at all of the commemorative figures for $10 a pop.
What?
Yeah, when we were walking up, dude walked out with 11 figures for $100. All of them on card, and Dirtbag Face here wants to leave at 7:30 instead of 6:30.
That's a good chunk of them. I think there were 18 figures total in that.
Dang, series. Man. Yeah. $10 a piece?
$10 a piece. I said, what did you get for those? Actually, it's less than that. He had 11 of them for $100.
And he got one of those metal foot soldiers.
Oh, yeah, for free. Threw it in. Ones.
Oh, those are... Those go for a ton of money, too.
The Target one, right? It was a Target exclusive.
The chrome, yeah. Foot soldiers? Yeah. Those go for a
He's
good
like,
amount.
And he threw this in, too. And I was just like, I look at Damien, and he goes... Are you going to start crying? I was like, I should. I need all those. He goes, what, you don't have them? I go, nope.
That's because you're dragging. I don't want to pay like $6.
I don't have all the commemoratives either.
Well, they had them there. You got there later than, you know, earlier than midnight.
Man, $10 a piece is a steal for those. You know that. You've had a few in the store here.
Yep.
Those sell for good money.
$50, $60.
Yeah.
Oh. I can only imagine who he had, but yeah, he walked out with them all on card in a big old box.
Dang. That sucks.
Crazy thing about that series is He-Man and Skeletor were produced in, I think, either 250 or 500 more figures than all the other characters.
Yeah, they're...
He-Man and Skeletor are still worth more.
Oh, yeah, they're He-Man and Skeletor.
They're the main boys. The main two.
That was a great series, too.
Love that series.
I love that series.
I got my He-Man and Battlecat and Skeletor and Panther box sets. I love those sets.
Whenever you have them all hung up on a wall together, they're just...
Yeah,
it's an amazing
display.
You have
a bunch of them on...
Yep. I do. I think I have Man at Arms, Teela, Evil-Lyn, Skeletor, and Merman. That's it. And then I've got the two cat sets.
Yeah, I'm still kicking myself for not buying the Skeletor and Panther one that we saw at King County.
Yep.
How much?
I think you won 40. 40. Yeah. I didn't buy it.
But it's worth. It goes for way more than 40 generally.
Like
80, so 40 yeah. bucks is a pretty good deal for it. It's a nice set too, man.
I'm trying to think what else I seen,
because I think that's one of the only Skeletors I don't have is that set.
I did. It was my own fault. Dude had a box of a bunch of Power Ranger loose Zords and the old plastic Matchbox Voltron.
Oh, nice.
It was the metal one, though, from like 97, 98
yeah,
when
they
reissued it.
That's still awesome.
$10 for the entire box, and I was like, I didn't... Ah! The only thing that doesn't matter with the Voltron was he was missing the black top piece of his head. Everything else on there was perfect condition.
I so would have bought that, though, for $10.
But I was like, ooh, $10. I was like, yeah, I'll have to come back and get this. I don't want to carry a box around. So when I went back, I was like, where's that box go? He's like, oh, yeah, we sold that.
Same thing happened to me the last time I went to Toy Man.
Yeah, you can't mess around.
You can't mess around, dude. No, you can't. That's how I missed the Technodrome.
Tons of stuff in there.
No, that's a little bit different.
The Android body, like tons of turtle stuff. It was like the entire
first 2 years loose in this box, and I think it had like $10 or $15 on it. I walked away from the table, came back, and it was gone.
Yeah, for whatever reason, there was turtles everywhere this time. Mm-hmm. It was sure. Like,
wow.
It was like, hey, everybody, so-and-so, bring your turtles.
And then it's like that one time I went, and it was nothing but Playmate Star Trek toys. Like, every booth had them. I was just like, why are these everywhere? And now you don't ever see them anywhere. It's really weird.
Because nobody bought them that day. They're like, hey, look, seriously, I'll give you 12 of these for a dollar. And I was like, nah, something sketchy about this. Something sketchy. These are stolen.
Everybody had them that one time.
And I was kind of disappointed because after those two booths didn't have what I wanted, the guy in the corner always has good stuff.
Yes.
Nothing? No. Not only did he only have, like, two tables.
Dan?
That guy's
usually got awesome
Not only did he have two tables, there was, like, nothing there.
It was really weird.
Super old guy there, like, all the way against the far back wall that had all the Puppet Master figures.
Yes.
Yeah, but he didn't have nothing.
He had Puppet Master.
Oh, he does, yeah.
Yes, he did. It was right next to the lead figures. Right by the door?
Yeah.
Well,
I was looking for them specifically, I assume.
No, yeah, they were there because that Technodrome buddy was looking at the figures, probably buying up. Maybe he bought what was left before you walked over there.
That dude.
Yeah, he does. He scouts that place.
He's so sketchy.
Is he the same way at Kane County. Yeah,
dude.
He's smaller.
Yeah.
And towards the end when we were leaving,
Technodrome.
They had a Mosquito or Staction. I said, "What do you want for this?" And he was like, I don't know, give me $30. And I was like,
dude.
I didn't have $30.
Oh, that.
No, and package.
$30 is. Yeah,
I know that. I know that because I gave him the whole, when these, you know, first came out, you know, you could have got the whole set for $90 and now you can't get them under $60. He's like, oh, I know. And I was like, are you a He-Man fan? And he goes, what do you think? And he shows me his whole arm, all the way around his whole forearm. No, he's got a giant He-Man tattoo.
Oh.
He's got just like your diorama on your arm. And he starts talking about the subscription. I go, you know, we got a buddy there at the PowerCon. Did you see the reveals? And he goes, yeah. You get the slush head and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you know, he can't say who or he can't say, you know, why or whatever or something. But Mosquito is very, very soon.
Yeah, okay.
That's what he said.
He knows, dude.
Well, didn't Maybe somebody it was else that say
same
that?
Dude at Kane County that last time.
He told us somebody was coming and he came.
Like that random dude that was
I guess
like,
you never know, man. Somebody could have an in
said
somewhere
that Flipshot
in the town.
Was October or December or something.
Hey, that dude was totally right about Flipshot, wasn't he?
Well, this dude said Mosquito is right around the corner.
Well, it seems like he is getting closer, honestly, just from talking to Eric. It seems
Maybe
like
he's going
to
be
coming.
Your Christmas.
He's going to be my Christmas present! Yeah!
They're only going to make one.
Just for me.
Don't get mad if I steal it.
They're just
going
to send it to me? No way, dude. We won't be friends anymore.
And then we went home.
That's all you got on it? Nothing special?
We ate, and then we went home.
Good story.
We ate for 45 minutes because Rylan eats one bite every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Please, awesome. Seriously, one more bite of the chicken. Bye! Please.
Oh, she spilled her chocolate milk on the table.
Well, she had to. She yanked it off Damien's hands right out of the gate, and it went everywhere. Then she got mad at Damien. You spilled that! And Damien goes, no, you yanked it out of my hand. What do you call that? And she goes, naughty. I don't want to be naughty. And he goes, don't yank the milk out of my hand.
Awesome. All right, well, I guess that is a good place to wrap up today's episode. So, lots of convention and toy show talk today. That was kind of cool.
But yeah, ours obviously was way
better. Yours was way better. I missed out. I'm sorry, guys. Hey, guys, as always, make sure you're checking out PopCultureNetwork.com on a daily basis for lots of original content. We have a lot of great shows and podcasts and reviews going up there. Lots of PowerCon videos are getting posted as I pump through them, so make sure you guys watch those panels and all that cool stuff. While you're there, register for the forums, discuss everything right there on the boards with some fellow geeks who are into the same stuff as you, and don't forget to visit shoppcn.com for lots of cool toys and comic books and video games and all that kind of stuff to help us out if you enjoy what we're producing. That's one of the best ways to support us. Anything new this week, Killen, you want to talk about?
We should be getting Lego Minifigure Series 5 any day now.
Boom. I guess it means a bunch of opening packages and putting those together.
Yep.
Or any of those Power Rangers?
Oh, yeah. Six of them. And we have... the Mogwai.
Oh, we did get the Gundam figures finally.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we actually got those last Wednesday, the day after we talked about it.
And then we also got the serial plush. Did we already say that?
Yeah, we did have the serial plush.
Like 2 weeks
but ago. Also, the Tower of Omens are coming in pretty soon.
Any day, too. Yeah. I saw those at Walmart the other day, and I was just like,
Clear Tiger.
Yeah, I kind of want it, but I don't want to spend the money on it.
How much is it?
It's 40, I think.
Well, that's not too bad.
Not too bad. No, not too bad.
It's weird how 40's not too bad, but 50's outrageous. $50? Yeah. What the hell's the matter with them?
It's 10 whole bucks, dude.
I guess.
All right, guys. Don't forget to tune in this Saturday. It's the finale of That New Toy Smell. And I know you guys are... I saw all your posts, and I've seen all your tweets. I know you guys are bummed, but keep your chin up, guys.
We're supposed to talk about it this week on It Figures, but we'll definitely get to it next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it some more. I mean, you'll see the show. Hopefully you'll enjoy the show. You'll kind of get a better understanding for what we're doing here. And it's not the end of the world, I promise. We're still doing stuff.
It's not.
None of us are going anywhere. We're all right here, so it'll be fine. You'll be okay, I promise. All right. That's going to wrap up this week's episode. So until next week, I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Scotty Cannon.
I'm Stina.
I'm your Lord Killer.
Ding dong, Rick. I'll see you guys next week.